Good morning, everyone. Welcome to God's house. So grateful that he moved upon you this morning. We're going to be talking about President Donald J. Trump this morning. This is to give you information so that you can, the best way to describe this is move with the Spirit of God. It's important in this time period that you do what the Spirit of the Lord is needing you to do, because we don't want to be considered to be fighting against God. So a lot of people don't realize that these flags are in their churches. This is the Christian flag. This is what we're supposed to be aligned to. I love America. I'm an American citizen. Love Israel. One day I hope to be a citizen of Israel. But my allegiance is to the cross. My allegiance is not to America. My allegiance is not to my skin color. It's to Christ first. It should be everybody's. If you're a believer, that's where your heart should be. That's where your allegiance should be. We're coming upon a time period where we are going to be persecuted for Christianity. And whether you fully believe or half believe, you're still going to get killed. Whether you understand that or not, or you're still going to be persecuted. So I would challenge you and encourage you to make a decision now to stand all the way for Christ without any hesitation. So some of the things that are going on within the church are deemed to be dividing. We're divided over politics. We're divided over race. And again, if our allegiance was to the cross, if our allegiance was to Christianity, some of these battles that we have would not be going on. I want to play a video for you first. And Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share. I pray that every man's spirit would be open to what you're trying to share with us and put within our spirits. I cover everything that's going to be talked about this morning in the blood of Jesus Christ. We come against any second heaven resistance. And Father, we lift ourselves into the third heavens where we can hear your voice with clarity and we can walk in the truth. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this first video is going to be descriptive of some of the things that are going on right now in the church. It's short, but I thought it was very descriptive. Go ahead, Brett.
Thing God shined a light on for this specific prayer was, let there be light on any secret assassination attempt against Trump. There are so many believers and Christians that have partnered with witches, intuitives, astrologers, voodoo priests, all of those type of people, hoping that he is murdered and taken off this earth before January 20th. And I don't care how mad you are or how disappointed you are, you should never be wishing death on your worst enemy. The very next day after our prayers, this came out. Three people charged in a plot to assassinate Donald Trump as revenge for the death of Iranian leader. And here we have, you were literally just talking about this last night. We literally just prayed this last night at midnight prayer based on the warning that I gave. You were right. But let's be clear, God was right. We should be concerned when Christians have partnered with witches with the same desire to see a man die. There's even a false prophet out here that wears a blanket on her head that gave a prophetic word that Kamala would get into the office without any votes. And obviously, Kamala's not in office, and most of her prophetic words have been wrong so far. But the issue is, even her followers are wishing death upon Donald Trump just for their false prophet's word to come to pass. And y'all don't think nothing strange about that? I told you that it was okay to celebrate whatever win that you thought you had when Trump got into office, but I also told you that this was not the time to celebrate with your eyes closed. This is actually a time for war. And this was a call to God's intercessors to get on your watch, because there are assassinations attempts happening so that with their desire, he does not get into office. And I'm telling you, I heard the Lord say, if she were to have gotten into office, judgment was coming very quickly. And if he got into office, judgment will be slowed down. Now, that is not to say judgment will not eventually come. Of course it will. But we do have a longer space and time for, I believe, the purpose of revival, which is what we need this for. Anyway, there's no need to hate your pilot while you're up in the air, flying 20,000 million feet above ground. While you're up in the air on an airplane and somebody's driving your plane, the most important thing and the wisest thing for you to do is pray for the pilot. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for our pilot, Trump, to make sure that we have a safe landing. So make sure you guys are praying and interceding. And I just pray that God increases you in discernment, because these people out here are lying to you. These people out here are wicked people. And you, because you have, you're like a city without walls. You have no discernment. You have no ability to tell who's telling the truth and who's not. You don't read your Bible, and you've made your opinions and your emotions your God. You are literally listening to the enemy, who are disguised as Christians, and God is not having any of it. Idolatry is real, and most of y'all are neck deep in it. If any of you have lost friendships, age-long friendships, because of who somebody voted for, I just want to let you know, you're stupid. Let's get not just our common sense back, but our spiritual sense back. Let's get back on our post and make sure that we agree on the most important thing that matters, which is that God is God and Christ is King. I love you. Don't you let anybody make you forget that. And I know these people want you to think that if you leave their churches, you're going to die. But I want you to know that you are forever and ever and ever covered by the Almighty God.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But unfortunately, the battle has been what it is, because people are being tricked and deceived by the things that are being posted on social media. They're being tricked by the media in general. If you're not listening to an independent source of media in order to get better information, you have a tendency of being deceived. And it's nothing against you. It's you just don't know what you don't know until someone presents it to you. So Pastor Barber heard last night, if you're angry about Biden and what he did to the country, God spoke this to her and said, the people can't blame Biden. They need to blame themselves. Biden was not qualified to run the country. We got the king that we chose. And, you know, it very early in this whole process for 2020, all of us were wondering what went wrong. How did it go wrong? And Pastor Barbara said the church didn't pray. She got a prophetic word, and the church did not pray, did not intercede, did not cover the election that took place in 2020. We're going to see here today something very interesting, because in the Bible codes, it shows that Trump won in 2020. But the spiritual part about us being messed up as Americans, us being messed up as Black people, is we're not voting based upon the right allegiance. This allegiance thing is so, so important. And if your allegiance is in the wrong place, you are going to do the wrong thing and you will not be in the spirit. If you want reference information about getting and choosing the wrong king, you can look this up in 1 Samuel chapter 8. The Old Testament is so full of good stories. If you're angry about Kamala losing, let's look at Proverbs chapter 26, verses 24 to 26. He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he stores up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously and kindly to conceal his malice, do not trust him, for seven abominations are in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile and deceit, his malevolence will be revealed openly before the assembly. A lot of Christians have been in hiding about what they really feel, who they really believe is supposed to be the true president. You think that you're hiding, but the true Christians see who you are. And if you cannot align with, again, the cross, the gospel, why are you serving God? Just something to think about. We're not here to make you make a decision either way. We're just presenting information to you. Anger can be outwardly visible, but it can also show up in ways that are subtle, indirect, and deceptive. Solomon describes a hateful individual, and in such a person, the related works of the flesh, contention, jealousy, selfish ambitions, and dissension also probably exist. Check this out. An outburst of wrath is also here. What have we been seeing since the election has been disseminated? Outbursts of wrath. There have been people who have been silently filled with hate, filled with dissension, filled with contention, and now it's bursting out of them. If you are the recipient of those bursts, forgive. Don't take it personal. Understand that they have feelings that are real and they just did not get the information that you got. So now is our time and our opportunity to explain and to share with them the truth. Everything this person does is his outburst of wrath, except that it is more like a tamped down volcanic eruption in slow motion. It oozes out rather than explodes. It does not possess visual or verbal intensity, nor is there obvious fury or violence. The anger, malice, and violence are hidden and smooth. See Proverbs 10:18. The anger can only be observed by its effect on others rather than in full bore, red-faced fury resulting in bloodshed. The injuries from this individual are not physical. His aggression may be quite passive. Nevertheless, his anger still reaches out in attempts to destroy, though he may not even be aware of what is happening nor admit to being angry. Something similar is found in Proverbs 6:12-15. A worthless person, a wicked man, is he who goes about with a perverse, contrary, wayward mouth. He winks with his eyes. He speaks by shuffling or tapping with his feet. He makes signs to mislead and deceive, and teaches with his fingers. Willful and contrary in his heart, he devises trouble, vexation, and evil continually. He lets loose discord and sows it. Therefore upon him shall the crushing weight of calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken, and that without remedy. These people have something burning inside of them, motivating them to the wickedness described in both Proverbs. Something impels them to carry out their plans, regardless of the cost to others. And they may even rejoice at the price others must pay. There's some people who are very angry and upset, and they feel like if President Donald J. Trump gets shot, that's what he deserves. If one of the people who supported him gets hurt, that's what they deserve. This is that secret, silent anger that's burning down on the inside of this. You need to be aware so that you can be praying against it and keep yourself covered. These are angry individuals, but their anger is hidden and finds its way out in subtle and creative ways. Proverbs 16:29-30 speaks of a violent man who entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He purses his lips as if in concealment and brings about evil. These things are going on in the church today. Deception in the church is at an all-time high. It's at an all-time high. We are witnessing the great falling away. Truth will wait. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to Romans 2. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. We usually use this scripture when we talk about perversions and homosexuality, but I wanted to bring this out because you need to see that hatred, the violence, the undiscerning is a result of you not wanting to retain the knowledge of God. And if that is any part of you, you have to change. If you willingly deny the truth, you have a debased mind. This is dangerous because you don't want to get put in a position where you're locked into that debased mind. I highly urge that you reconsider where you're headed. We have no malice of intent for you. We just don't want to see you swept away with the tide of unrighteousness that is prevailing in the world. In a number of years back, we did a message titled Mass Confusion. And it's easy to get swept away in the things that are going on if you're not rooted and grounded in Christ. You can be out in the midst of a crowd and looting starts taking place. And if you're not solid in your foundation in Christ, you could be picking up some TVs and VCRs and running out the store too. You would say, no, I'm never going to do that. You never know. You never know. And if you're not secure in your relationship with Christ, if you're not secure in your allegiance, you could be picking up a brick, breaking into a store, saying the government owes me this. Is that real? Deuteronomy 6, 18, 12, 25, 12, 28, 13, 18, and 21, 9 say the same thing. Do what is right in the sight of the Lord. We have to put this in front of our spirits all the time. Judges 17, 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And we have to take responsibility for the lack of leadership in the church, because some in the church don't want to tell you the truth. They don't want to tell you where you need to go, how you need to behave. They're not directing you to the Bible. And this is how you're getting to the place where there's no king in Israel. I can do what's right in my own eyes. For more information on that, you can read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 22. So, do you realize that President Donald J. Trump is chosen by God to be president for this time period? Let's talk about this. We're in the times of restoration of all things. Jesus Christ is being preached to the entire world. There are reports that Jews and Muslims alike are having great visitations and giving their hearts to the Lord God Jehovah. God is moving in this earth, and this nation will have a part to play in this. In order for this to happen, there are sins that we must repay. Because God is good, he has provided a ram for himself. You may not like this, but that ram is Donald J. Trump. Look at what and the who was found in the Bible codes. So this originally started in 2016 by Rabbi Mattityahu Glazerson. And these are some transcripts of what they have found. And if you don't know about the Bible codes, in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, it's written purely in Hebrew, and they have mathematical codes that they use to decrypt and find out what's going on in particular time periods. And they've looked up all types of things. So in 2016, this is what they found about President Trump. In two separate sets of Bible codes published 3 months apart, International Bible Codes expert Rabbi Matayahu Glazerson found evidence that Donald Trump will win the upcoming U.S. presidential election. What's more, Trump's predicted win appears to be connected to his support for Israel. The first table was published on July 6, 2016. In this table, which comes from the book of Deuteronomy, Rabbi Glazerson pointed to the word Donald, spelled in Hebrew letters, next to the word Nazi, which is Hebrew for president. He also found an abbreviation for Artzat Habrit, which is the way the United States is referred to in Hebrew. To date, the date is also found in this table. Specifically, Rabbi Glazerson pointed out the codes for 8 Cheshvan 5777. This is the date on the Hebrew calendar that corresponds to November 9th, 2016. The first date Trump would be president-elect of the United States if he wins the election. The second video released in late October repeats many of the same codes that were found in the July video. However, those codes were found in the Book of Numbers. The first set of codes were found in the Book of Deuteronomy. Rabbi Glazerson opens the video with what he calls the best meeting of Donald Trump, spelled in Hebrew in bocher, which means chosen or elected. This is written in a code in the Bible. You can't make this up. In this table as well, he found codes for Nazi president, Artsakh Hebrit, United States, and 7 Cheshvan 5777, which corresponds to Tuesday, November 8th, 2016, which is Election Day in the U.S. All these codes appear very close to one another in the Bible. In another part of the Bible, he found Ohev Yisrael, which means one who loves Israel. There are also codes for Teshuvah, repentance, Moshiach, and Hashem, Elokecha, the Lord your God, which Rabbi Glazerson said is a message for Jews. Let's look at the Bible code for 2020, same guy. But what is the most interesting that the year at the time was 2020, and then he was elected as president? This is in the code. See the word president here, and will be elected, unbelievable second time, says that he was like Cyrus, which was called in Isaiah 45, Messiah of God, because he was helping Israel. He helped them to settle, and he recognized a prophecy that Israel should get back to their land. What you see was in the time when you see the corona in the state, you can see all this appear there, right? Trump appears for writing. And then you have the situation that time was plagued. He's a man who understand what is Israel to help Israel and realize a great disaster if Biden will be elected because he is going to make Palestinian state and Hamas are going to rule. And they do what they did also on October 7th. This was in 2020 that this guy found this code about the October 7th attack on Hamas, on Israel, because these are the times they are planning to do it. Surely we have the son of Joseph and Cyrus, also called Messiah, yea, Messiah, because he recognized Israel. He believed in the Bible and the prophecies. And Ezekiel now clearly declares that Biden is a disaster to Israel. Have we not seen that over the last 4 years? No doubt, because he's going to make Palestinians start. And Palestinians, it means that Hamas will rule it. And then Hamas will do what they did in October because they are planning to do it, because according to what they believe in the Quran. Yea. So therefore, as you see this table, clearly hoping that President Trump will be elected second or third time, he said he's here also because he could also be elected before. But it was a Democrat with Satan, because they are against the Torah, against God, against this. So definitely they are the Satan, and hoping that now really God really will bring the world truth. Significant table, hoping that Trump will be elected on this year, which is 5785. A small skip in parallel, which makes it significant, will be elected a president, and he realized that Israel are the chosen nation by God. Now, if you don't understand, some of this seems like it's kind of sketchy, but they don't know what equidistant phrase numbers to put. So they'll put in his name and see what comes up. But you can't really tell what happens until after it's happened if you don't know how to use the code. So there's more that's going to come from this, and they'll probably will show all of the details of what happened about the election being stolen. But here's 2020, this rabbi with this proof that President Trump was the president. So the Bible code for 2024. It's mostly very interesting table about chances that Trump will be elected. You know, she's also from heaven. Trump will be elected. Here you can see Trump, and then you see he'll be elected. Once in the Torah, he's only ready. He came out questioned who will be conditioned because look what. Some of this is garbled because of what the guy was, has a thick accent, and this is the best the transcription can do. So let us see first what is very interesting that you have on top, Mashiach and Nazi and president. Yay, you can see it clearly. Careful, Nazi, presidential, Mashiach of Messiah. Now we said how his Messiah, so we know that he like Cyrus, which appears to Cyrus, we just now was called in Isaiah 45. God called him my Messiah, as the Messiah of God, because he was helping God to fulfill what he said that Israel will come back to the very Satanized and so on. And he allows them to settle and help them. So this is why he has the name Messiah. This is all in reference to President Trump. These are all different codes that have been tied to him. You have to understand that he is the chosen of God. He's here for a time period, and it doesn't matter what, you know, your friends, your family, the politics say. He is the one who's supposed to be in office. Brett, I'm going to skip over that part about Cyrus. If you want to read about King Cyrus, you can go to Isaiah 44. It gives a very detailed Isaiah 44 and Isaiah 45. I want to address some of the points of contention that always get Christians tripped up about President Donald J. Trump. The first one is President Donald J. Trump's marriages and family life. He was married 3 times. Donald has the appearance of failing in his family life as well. Donald is currently married to Melania, but experienced the harsh reality of 2 failed marriages, one from his first wife, Ivana Trump, and another from his second wife, Marla Maples. Now, it's amazing to me that everyone uses this to say that he's a sex pervert, he's all kinds of demonic, he's doing all of these wild things, and you're going to see this play out when they do the, we're going to talk about the Steele dossier, where they accused him of going to Russia, hiring prostitutes to pee on a bed because he thought Barack Obama was going to get into those beds. So they're using his failed marriages in the church and in the world to prove, you know, a little bit of doubt about what kind of a perverted person he's in. They also have said that he's been to Epstein Island. He didn't like Epstein. He knew something was wrong with Epstein. There are no documented pictures of him being on those planes. There's no documents of him ever attending and going over there to that island. But if you listen to people in the press, he was there. He was partying with Obama. He was partying with Hillary Clinton all at the same time. And these are all just lies that keep getting repeated. And he's saying, I've never done these things. But because he's had these 2 failed marriages, automatically he's assumed to be a pervert. This is wrong. So he had good relations, despite the failed marriages, he did have good relationships with his ex-wives. Despite their explosive divorce, Ivana said that once their legal battle was over, they settled into their roles as companionable co-parents. They remained friendly throughout the years, and Ivana was in attendance at Donald's presidential inauguration in 2017.
Former White House aide Omarosa Newman even told people that Donald constantly sought Ivana's advice while he was in office. When Ivana died on July 14, 2022 at age 73, Donald called her a wonderful, beautiful, and amazing woman who led a great, inspirational life. Despite their divorce, Donald and Maples, this is his second wife, are now on friendly terms. During an appearance on Oprah Winfrey's Where Are They Now in 2013, Maples said, "I still love Donald. I love Eric, Ivanka, and Donnie so much." The former couple even celebrated Easter together in April 2023. He's such a horrible person that he has a good relationship, had good relationships with his ex-wives. Donald has found success in his third marriage with Melania. This success appears to be one of his epiphanies. With his marriage to Melania secure, Donald committed to developing his relationship with his family. Donald has three children with Ivana, Donald Jr., Ivanka, and Eric. Donald has his fourth child with Marla, Tiffany, and Donald has his fifth child with Melania. Everyone understands the dynamics that it takes these days to stay married, to raise a family, and to be still to be a decent human being. To see Donald with his family today, you can see the fruit that has occurred in his life because he did not give up on searching and seeking to make his family work. When you take these factors into consideration, it's no wonder that people can relate to Donald. The second thing that they want to get to, and Brett, we're going to skip to this, is President Donald Trump, J. Trump, is a racist. So these are real, actual things that he did. Donald sheltered Jennifer Hudson rent-free after her family was murdered. A white man sheltered a black woman and her family. Donald sued the city of Palm Beach when he brought a segregated club, Mar-a-Lago, to open it to Jews and blacks. Donald paid to ensure a Mexican-American boy would graduate from college when he saw a news story about his terminally ill mom. Donald dispatched his plane to fly a sick Jewish boy for special care when he heard no airline would accommodate his medical equipment. Donald sent $10,000 to hero bus driver Darnell Barton after seeing a news story about how he saved a woman from jumping off a bridge. Donald gave the job of constructing Trump Tower to Barbara Ress, making her the first woman in history to build a skyscraper. So we're going to watch a video clip, and you're going to hear him answer this question of how racist he is. Go ahead, Brett.
I denounce white supremacy, okay?
Wait, are you listening?
I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
What's your next question? I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
You start off with white supremacy, I denounce it.
Are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups,
sure,
and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure, are you prepared to do that? I totally disavow the Ku Klux Klan. I totally disavow David Duke.
Any group of hate I have, whether it's white supremacy, whether it's any other kind of supremacy, whether it's Antifa, whether it's any group of hate, I am very concerned about it, and I'll do something about it.
In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
From David Duke.
I didn't even know he endorsed me. David Duke endorsed me? Okay. All right. I disavow. Okay?
What about David Duke is saying to his supporters and followers, vote for Donald Trump. White supremacists are saying, vote. Do you want those votes?
No, I don't want them, and I don't want him to say it.
Let me ask you
about this one.
Are you ready before you ask the question?
Newt Gingrich said every Republican should repudiate this guy, no matter what it takes.
And I do. Rebuked. Is that okay? Rebuked.
Rebuked.
Done.
Done.
When Chris joined, we had a news conference, and they asked me the exact same question. I said, I disavow. I put out a tweet, and I put out on Facebook that I totally disavow. And I disavowed then. I disavowed today on ABC with George Stephanopoulos. I disavowed again. I mean, how many times are you supposed to disavow? But I disavow.
Secondly, David Duke and all were disavowed. I disavowed them on Friday. I disavowed them on Twitter and Facebook. They were disavowed again. I disavowed them every time I speak to somebody virtually. It was totally disavowed.
So are you prepared right now to make a clear and unequivocal statement renouncing the support of all white supremacists?
Of course I am. Of course I am. I mean, there's nobody that's done so much for equality as I have.
David Duke is a bad person who I disavowed on numerous occasions over the years. I disavowed him. I disavowed the KKK. Just to put it clear, I disavowed him in the past, and I disavow him now.
What do you see as the biggest problem with the Reform Party right now?
Well, you've got David Duke just joined, a bigot, a racist, a problem. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party.
And I disavowed David Duke, and I disavowed him the day before at a major news conference, but I disavowed David Duke. Now, if you look on Facebook, right after that, I also disavowed David Duke. When we looked at it and looked at the question, I disavowed David Duke. So I've disavowed David Duke all weekend long on Facebook, on Twitter, and obviously it's never enough.
How do you feel about the David Duke quasi-endorsement?
But I don't need anybody's endorsement.
Repudiate David Duke?
Sure. How many times do I have to reject? I've rejected David Duke. I've rejected the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. From the time I'm 5 years old, I rejected them.
David Duke and robocalls are out again, the white supremacist movement supporting you. Do you have any words for that?
Well, I disavow the Ku Klux Klan, which obviously I'm going to disavow.
Do you want white supremacists to vote for you?
No, I don't at all. Not at all. And I will tell you, this is not about hate. This is about love.
I have to say, I've said it many times, and let me be clear again. I condemn the KKK. I condemn all white supremacists. I condemn the Proud Boys.
I spoke out forcefully against hatred, bigotry, and violence, and strongly condemned the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, and the KKK. So here is my first statement when I heard about Charlottesville. We're closely following the terrible events unfolding in Charlottesville, Virginia. This is me speaking. We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. It has no place in America.
It's never enough. It's absolutely never enough. Now, we have Biden on record calling black people the N-word multiple times. Multiple times. Video, audio, but he still gets love. He doesn't get any questions about how racist he is. Just the chosen one of God. The Steele dossier. We've heard and been hearing that Donald Trump has colluded with Russia. Russia helped him win the 2016 election. And do you realize this dossier, which is a report, it's a 35-page report that was proven was completely false and made up. Completely. And they used this against President Donald J. Trump for 3 years. Drug him through the mud, said he was coming against Obama because he wanted to have these prostitutes pee on these beds because he knew that President Obama was going to be in this hotel. President Trump never went to the hotel that they're talking about. The event never happened. It was completely false and made up. But these are the things that keep getting circulated around and around and around. And when you start hearing it all over again, they've proven that the dossier, the report was false. There's a guy by the name of Comey who did an investigation, and then they wrote a report called the Mueller Report. Everything in that report has been repudiated, denied,
And even to the point where it's like these reports are completely false, but they still hold it against him. And people are still confused about what really happened. And play number four.
And what we've discovered increasingly, including over the past week, is that the Steele dossier was totally nonsense. We knew previously that it was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign. What we didn't fully realize is that the contents of that dossier was based on just completely made up statements by Hillary Clinton's own associates. So she paid for it and then she filled it with rubbish contents.
Lies, lies, and more lies. Contention number five. Donald J. Trump only wanted to be president to spread his empire. Not going to spend too much time on this. He lost from 2016 to 2024 $2 billion of his empire. And did it willingly because he wanted to help the American people. Didn't have to, but he lost that money in revenue and income. And sources, and everyone in the world is saying you're crazy. I wouldn't do this for my parents. I wouldn't do this for my friends and family. You're doing this for people who hate you and don't understand what you're doing, why you're doing it. He's misunderstood. $2 billion. We can't even grasp that concept of how much money that is. Last video.
I have one last question. I think that one of the biggest problems within the country is the distrust in the United States government. I'm one of them. I have zero trust in any government agencies. I have zero trust in our Congress and our Senate, anything. We have a government that's not functioning right now.
Yeah.
How are you going to gain the trust back of the American people within the government? And are we going to see anybody held accountable?
Yeah. The answer is yes on the second. They're going to be held accountable. They've got to be held accountable. What they're doing, they're destroying this country. They're crooked people. They're dishonest people. They're going to be held accountable. But what I find is, so when I came to Washington, you know, I won an election that everybody said, they thought I was just going to have some fun. Everyone said, he's got too good a life. I did. I had the greatest life. I went from that to having bullets shot at me, okay? I had the greatest life. And they said, would you do it again? I said, without question, because we're going to save the country. It's much more important than I had a good life. That's, a lot of people have a good life. It's like not the same thing. We're going to say we're going to make America great again. Literally, we're going to make America greater than ever before. If we don't do it this time, we'll never be able to do it. It'll be too late. It'll be too far gone. But we're going to have great people. When I came in originally, I didn't know anybody in Washington. You know, I was only there 17 times. You may have heard me say this. I never stayed over. I built a hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue, which was a great hotel and very successful, and then sold it. And then what happened is I didn't really know anybody in Washington. I was a New York person. I wasn't like a Washington, D.C. person. And all of a sudden, I'm president, and I'm driving down Pennsylvania Avenue with more police and motorcycles and military than I've ever seen before in my life. I said to my wife, do you believe this? I'm president. But I didn't know anybody in Washington. And I had to rely on people to give me names. And many were really good. I mean, Bob Lighthizer, I had great trade people. I had some great people. But I also picked people that in retrospect I wouldn't have picked. But now I know the smart ones, the dumb ones, the weak ones, the solid ones, the ones like you. I know the people. I know everybody, sort of like everybody. And we're going to have a great government. I didn't know. I had to rely on people to, I'd ask, I don't want to use names because I don't want to embarrass, they're not bad people, but I'd ask people that were rhinos, who do you recommend for such and such a position? All important positions. And they'd recommend some people that were rhinos or something, or weak or not good. And I don't have to ask too much right now. I know the people, and I've known them through fighting and wars. I've known them through, because all this stuff, I had great support. Don't forget, I beat Nancy Pelosi. I beat all these people, every one of them. And somebody said, you know, if you look at it, he beat the Clinton family, right? And that was really Obama, too, because he was behind her 100%, like he was running. And I beat the Bush family. I beat everybody. And now I beat Biden. I got him out. I beat him twice, actually. I beat him the first time, but now I beat him a second time because it was the debate that got him out. And now I have to beat somebody that nobody ever heard of, who's a Marxist. And I think I'll be able to do that. But I know the people now. I've been in government now for 8 years. I was in government for no years. I mean, I became president and I said, I've never done this before.
So we hope that this gives you some more information to be able to make better decisions. God is ultimately going to defend President Donald J. Trump, but he needs us to pray for him. He needs us to do our part, stand our ground. I have family members too, and they hate him to the core. They do. We still have to live with them. I still have to be around them. But you can still carry your light and hold to the truth and not let any of that sway you. I'm not going to be in deception. I refuse. I love the truth too much. And we were talking with some people yesterday, and we were created for this time period for a special purpose. Every one of us here was created to be here right now in this time period. And you can't get away from that. Pass it over.
I just want to say that you'll notice in the bulletin I said my heart was grieved to write the article I wrote. God told me all about President Trump and the first time he voted. I never once said, well, I heard wrong, like a lot of prophets did. Because if I heard wrong about one thing, then how many other things do I hear wrong about? And I stayed the course because I know what God spoke to me. Every prophet, you know, you need to stay the course. If you're not a true prophet, then you need to sit down. But God has called Donald J. Trump to save America. I never really got into politics at all until I voted for Donald Trump, because I never prayed about it. I just go vote. Somebody give me a little slip of paper, said this is who you're supposed to vote for, and which was Christopher. But whenever it came with Donald Trump, God kept speaking to me all along about him. And that's when he told me that, you know, because I kept telling everybody Donald Trump's going to win. And I got a phone call saying, I thought you said Donald Trump's going to win. I said, he is. He said, no, he lost. I said, no, he didn't. They're wrong. And then the next day I said to God, I said, God, you told me he was going to win. And he said, the people wanted a king, so I gave them a king. We all know the story about Saul. You know, David was supposed to be king, but they wanted Saul. They didn't want God. They wanted Saul. And that's what they got. And God said, they're going to see what their king is going to do for them. And you know how America went downhill. I'm not arguing about it. I just know that God told me President Trump was in office. And whenever they didn't put him in office last time, God said, he's still the president. In God's eyes, he was still the president. And I can't remember, Kim Clement said at one point, we would have two presidents, you know, sitting in office at one time. And we just went through that. So God told me that Donald Trump's trouble was just beginning. Now, you know, he was fought before he got in office, but now his troubles are just beginning. And we really need to pray for this man. Because he's in there for you and I. He's not in there for himself. Last time he didn't take any pay. You know, he didn't get paid for those 4 years he was in office. They would give him the check, but he would keep, I think, a dollar and give the rest of back or do something with it. But now he did not receive.
Yeah, I was going to bring that out just for a short of time. He did not take paychecks, and he's saying he's not going to take paychecks again. You know, he's donating all of that money back to different groups, different agencies. So he's not in this for the money at all. He really is in this because he wants us to be prospered.
You'd have to be crazy to go through what he's going through, you know, and keep going through it. He doesn't have to be president. He's already done that one time. God wants him in there, and God wants to use him to save America. And that's all we're going to say about that. But I just had to do this because I've heard so much stuff, and it just tears my heart out that the churches are so full of hate that they want this man killed. You know, we call ourselves Christians, and we're really not when we act like that. This is God's man of the hour. Let's support him. And, you know, if you're a prophet and you hear from God and you say that you don't want like him being president, then somewhere along the line, you're not hearing God because you wouldn't make that statement.